welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Or as we like to call it, More Life with the Girlfriends. Because we're all about the big more right now.
We are. And we're taking a break from guests right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been interviewing authors from the book that came out in September, Unwavering Strength. And we're going to be starting up again interviewing new authors in about 6 weeks. So you're going to be one of them because you're in the new, you're
that's right,
part
volume
of the new group, Volume 2, and Unwavering Strength. And
So it's just us, girlfriends.
It is. And we kind of been choosing that for just a little while.
Yeah, I mean, certainly we could get guests.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're just doing it. We're winging it. This is the way we roll.
And also, I think I just wanted to have fun with you for a while.
I do, too.
I mean, it's nice to interview guests because they kind of do all the work for you. But I've been enjoying just hanging out with my mom.
Yeah.
You know, and, of course, I have another cold. I remember being coached.
I know, Julie.
Yes.
We're doing something about this. I don't know what, but we're doing something.
I don't know either. I remember being coached and I was having a cold, of course, and doing my law of attraction thing and all that stuff. And he's like, what is this enough for you? What are you resisting? And I just like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm not resisting anything, you MF-er. I got mad internally.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? And so on the spiritual path, I understand I'm doing something that I'm attracting this cold.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel it. I feel good all the time. I mean, I'm working my stuff. Spiritually, I'm growing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just, I have to say that I probably need to take my vitamin C's. And there's nothing worse than having someone see your weaknesses and bring them up to the front.
Yes.
And then especially physical ones,
mm-hmm.
because this is the evolutionary leap that I have to go to.
Right.
Which is, I know how to law attraction my way out of a better feeling into a better
into a better feeling,
a better feeling. Either way,
yeah, I can do the opposite.
I can do the opposite.
I've been there, done that.
Yeah, right? And but I haven't been able to law of attraction myself out of this cold yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been able to law of attraction myself into dealing with the cold and feeling good about it and still living mm-hmm. my life and mm-hmm. helping people and taking care of business and
all that stuff. You know what I just got?
Yeah, tell
when
me.
When he said to you, what are you resisting? And obviously, you know, a cold or something is about your resistance to something, right? I mean, you have a weakened
resistance.
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So now I just kind of got that.
That's interesting.
You think he wasn't that smart?
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. Why would I not say yes? That would be creepy of me.
And you are definitely not creepy.
I'm not creepy.
You're not creepy. So can we tell everyone a puppy update?
Yes.
Yay. Well, we don't have Elliot yet, but we get him in 3 weeks.
Yay,
we met him mm-hmm. for the first time on Saturday. And it was a cool story because of this litter, there were only two males, and we want to have a male. And so we had our heart kind of set on this little guy that had a kind of a light face, and he was little.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we met him, we thought, okay, this looks like Elliot, right? But we wanted to hold him and stuff, and the lady wouldn't let us hold him. She thought, he has to be on the floor. There's
right.
all these
rules. If we drop him, then
yeah.
it's, you know, we
yeah.
have to
there's
buy
all
him.
These rules. Yeah. If you drop it, you pay for it.
Exactly.
Right. And so we go, oh, Elliot. And he was just like really, really shy.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guy who not as attractive, really, truthfully, not as like physically attractive, big guy, kind of a big galoot.
Yeah.
He comes over, his tail's just wagging, and he's just like rolling over on his belly, on his back, and
licking up and
down. Licking and licking and licking, and uh-oh, we
fell
like,
in love.
He chose us.
Yep, fell in love, he chose us.
Yes.
Now, I know they say that cats choose their owners.
That's what they say.
And that people choose their dogs.
Right.
But no.
No. We don't. We like to have that good, we like to have the dog choose us.
Exactly.
But so we went from tiny Elliot
to a little bigger Elliot.
To a little bigger Elliot, who is, you know, we should put a picture up, but I mean, he's not attractive, but that's okay.
And we, you keep saying that, but he's a cute little puppy.
Oh, he's a puppy.
But he, you know, there's okay, let's be real. Like beagle puppies.
Yes.
They're just darling.
I know, with those great big ears and a tiny face.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, golden retrievers, they're darling puppies.
Yeah.
This terrier ain't so cute. Not as cute.
No.
He looks like a little Benji, you know, a little rough around the face, a little scruffy.
Why, yada.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was so cute, though. First of all, I just want to take a second and say I had a law of attraction moment. Just this moment.
Just now?
Yes, because I was thinking to myself, you know, I have my hot water for my throat for this call. And I go, oh, it'd be lovely if I have a cough drop, but I didn't get any before the show. And I go, oh, wait, there's Mom's purse. And there's a huge bag, unopened, of Ricola in your purse.
Yes.
So,
well, you just law of attraction then.
Yeah. And, I knew psychically that I wanted you to go to the store and get me some Ricola. That's why I wanted.
That's right. Well, that's cool, Jules.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Very
I'm
cool.
glad I could have left my purse out there for you.
Yeah. And your wallet's right here. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You know, I appreciate that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so cute when we were playing with little Elliot on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked, do you have a name picked out yet? I said, Elliot. And then Dad goes, yes, we're Big Law and Order Special Victims Unit. I'm like, well, I kind of want to keep that a secret.
Yeah, thanks, Norm. Because then he goes, Elliot Stabler Peters.
Yeah.
Oh,
Elliot
that's
Stabler
our little
Peters.
Private
yes.
moment. But, and she's like, oh, well, we watch Law and Order, but, you know, her husband, John, or whatever, he thinks Elliot Stabler's a hothead. And how dare you name your little puppy after a hothead?
Yes, a hothead.
No, it's because there's only... Well, and that last Law and Order was like, there's only one Elliot Stabler.
Right.
And we were like, wah, wah, wah.
And then also,
not
too,
really.
Dad then says, yes, he might be a hothead, but he has a heart of gold and always gets his man. I was like, whatever.
He always gets his man, Elliot Stabler does.
And then so we had a 20-minute conversation about, you know,
Law and Order,
Special Victims Unit,
and
then I always find this very interesting because some people say, like, boy, that Benson, Olivia Benson, she's getting a little old, isn't she?
I know. Well, I've even heard her say that. I was watching when Chelsea Handler was on, and she was, the guest, and she was telling a story about how this one woman they were traveling in one of the islands and said, you know, you look a lot like. You know, that'll live the girl that plays Olivia Benson.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yes, but you look a lot better because she's getting long in the tooth, you know.
And I'm thinking to myself, why is it that women are not allowed to age on TV?
Yeah.
What is that about?
I love the way she's aging, by the way. I think she looks good. And I've even seen, some movies that are like, you know, on Cinemax or something, and... I don't know if you even remember Genevieve Bujold. She was a very beautiful French star that did, you know, American movies, I think in like the 80s, I think. And, you know, French women, they, in general, they allow themselves to age.
Right.
I mean, God bless them, because they're like, you know, I will smoke, I will have some
bit of cheese,
wine,
yeah.
and have my cheese, and I will age, you know.
Right.
And she was playing this woman, you know, here's the roles, right, for older women. You know, a woman with dementia, a woman with Alzheimer's, you know.
No, sometimes a judge.
Yeah. right. And so, I mean, that the roles are limited,
right.
grant you. But, but she allowed herself to age.
Yes.
You know, and there's something kind of freeing about... she's still a beautiful woman, you know.
Who are you talking about, Olivia Benson or the other one?
But this Genevieve Bujold,
right.
yeah. But, of course, Olivia's still beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something about, and maybe because I'm saying this because I had my birthday yesterday.
Yay, it's a birthday.
But there's something about you know, growing wiser as you get older, having some wisdom, having some grace, extending a lot more mercy, having compassion. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can wear well, you know, mercy, grace, compassion, wisdom. Those are things I want to put on, you know.
Well, and I think because we judge ourselves through the eyes of 20-year-olds about how we are supposed to look.
I know.
And Bill Maher had a very interesting conversation about that, or editorial about that on the show, a rant, I should say, editorial. And he said, you know, we have ageism in this society, and it lingers and it's big, and I don't get it. Because, and he named up all these people who are so successful. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, we might be more wrinkly. He goes, and he showed a picture of Ginsburg, Chief Justice
Ginsburg. Just, Ginsburg?
Yeah, no. I said, no. Who's the female one? One of the female ones. I'm sorry, everybody. I feel so stupid right now.
That's okay.
I'm just going to call it cold talk so I can just blanket that. But it was... you know, famous woman, Supreme Court judge, I can't think of her name, before, you know, when she was 25, 30, you know, beautiful picture of her, no wrinkles, looks like a movie star. Now she doesn't. Now she looks like she's got wisdom and been around the block a few times or whatever.
Been around the block. even our talk is loaded with it, isn't it?
It's so silly. You just go,
I noticed today we were talking. And we were debating something, and you kept calling girls who got pregnant early, you kept saying they got knocked up. And then you were talking about when a woman is married and she has, you know, gets pregnant, she doesn't get knocked up. She just, you know, they're blessed with a child, you know. But you were just, you were just not even connecting that you were saying if you were young and, you know, had to get, you know, got pregnant, you were like knocked up. That's the word you're using.
Right. I think I used the word knocked off, and then you said, no,
I did
it's not
say
knocked
that.
Off.
It's Julie
knocked
up, Julie.
Yeah.
You said, you kept getting knocked off. I'm like the Godfather got knocked off?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Like the horse's head in the bed knocked off?
Well, you know what? When I have a cold, I tend to, not talk in very high ways. Very low ways I talk.
I imagine we're going to get a lot of emails saying, here's what I do to increase my immune system. Or
exactly.
I remember one time, I don't know, I think your name, remember Alice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think she said, girlfriend, just knock it off. This is enough already.
It's
a cold. So talk to me about the ageism thing again. Was it just about the roof? I think it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes, it probably is.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we judge ourselves the way we see, the way, quote-unquote, 20-year-olds perceive older people.
Yes.
And really, if you're 20 years old, anybody over the age of 40 is old to you.
You bet.
And I remember that because I remember being 20, you know. So we remember that. I don't know what happened. And lately, we've been witnessing this revolution coming through of like saying, hey, you know what? First of all, our body can age better, healthier, stronger. We can be healthier. And we don't have to be worried about our age. Because I think also, too, we're afraid of that death program that comes around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. it comes knocking on your door, you know, when all of a sudden you start getting all this advertising in the mail because somehow they all know how old you are and they want you to buy life insurance.
Well, I mean, even is interviewing people at the age, or sending people advertising at the age of 39.
Oh, no.
AARP. I'm like, really, people?
Oh, my God. Oh, I know, speaking of, you were in Michigan and you were talking to a little new employee that was, and they said, he said, oh, so you're the girl that's delivering this sand now, right? He goes, what about the real old guy? And you're like, what real old guy?
Delivers
who's
sand.
That?
Yeah.
Who's that? And then you're like, my dad?
My dad? You call him a real old guy?
So, you know, to a 20-year-old, you know, Normano looks like the real old guy that wears pajamas to work.
That's right. Well, anyway, I want to talk about a couple of different things today.
Okay.
Not giving off ageism, of course. I mean, because that's always there, right? But I want to celebrate your birthday a little bit.
Aww.
And
again,
I want to tell
more?
You, yeah, I want to tell you how great I think you are.
Thank you, honey.
And that even though you had a birthday, you're ageless to me.
Yes, thank you.
And when there is love anywhere, there is no age. Mm. It's just experience
right.
and time. And I think you're wonderful. And I want you to have many, many, many more birthdays.
Oh, thank you. I really receive that.
Good. And
thank you.
And I was listening to this one radio show today, NPR, and they were interviewing this woman who was 45 years old. And she said, you know, I know that I'm supposed to feel middle-aged, because I'm really, this is where I'm at, middle-aged, but I'm not middle-aged, am I?
This is what she said.
Yeah, I'm not. And the guy interviewing her, who is also in his 40s, says, no, we're not middle-aged. We're not middle-aged. And he goes, okay, well, if we're not middle-aged, then what are we? And he goes, are we just, and I think she said, are we in the twilight of youth?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I think we're getting to the point now where we just need to let go of all these.
Uh-huh.
Categories.
Yeah.
They no longer fit.
Well, I know my aunt sent me a book of women who are talk about aging and said you can, you know, you're in the youthful cycle of old age, and then you're sort of like in the middle cycle of, you know, old age, and so here you
and
are.
And then you're just old.
And you're just like, forget about it, you know.
Right.
And then, but you're talking about the twilight of your youth.
Yes. Oh, that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Comment. And then they talked about, and I thought this was even more telling, because I get this. I think this is where we're going to be defining our lives. Sorry, people. If you are in your 40s, you remember a time when the Internet was not a part of your life. You know, you still typed out your papers.
Right.
In high school.
Right.
You still went to junior high, not middle school. And for people that, and then your parents, or people in their 50s, you know, that's not, they never, I mean, it's totally new to them, you know.
Right.
But, you know, people in their 30s, they went to school and they used the computers and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And they talked about a time, and they showed a clip, or it was a Today clip, Today morning clip.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
And it was so hysterical.
It was a clip from
the Today Show.
Yes.
And it was right around this time, and the Internet was getting popular, or whatever you want to say. And Bryant Gumbel was like, and what do you call that A with a circle around it? I don't understand it. And what is Internet? What is Internet? And I don't get it. I don't know what to say when I see, you know, contact me here, you know, Bryant Gumbel, the A symbol, you know, NBCstudios.com. And I'm like, holy
cow. What's that COM?
What is COM? And I think about our lives defined by pre-computer, post-computer.
Yeah.
And how different is. I'm not sure if we're any happier, but our lives are certainly expansive or more filled. How about that?
Well, yeah. Well, we had a birthday party last night for me, and everybody
yeah.
came over.
Mm-hmm.
And the two little grandkids. Well, Greg had made a movie on the phone, and so they were looking at it. And the 1 year old kept hitting the little arrow right in the middle to play it over again.
You right.
know? Now I don't even think Norm would have known how to do that. In fact, Norm made a grievous mistake last night. We were talking and. It kind of a long conversation, but, you know, Greg had mentioned that he got a group text, and Dad said, well, I don't understand. How do you take your Facebook group and then you text everybody? And all of a sudden, you know, that third wall broke, because we have made Norm promise.
Yes.
I mean, on a Bible, promise never to talk tech to anybody else other than me and you.
Right, because they say there's no dumb questions.
Right.
That's a lie.
That is a big, fat lie.
That's a lie. There are dumb questions.
Yeah.
Only because we don't want people to perceive Dad in a different light. Which is like...
Because he wears his pajamas to work.
Yeah, he likes comfortable pants and he wears them to work. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No, he's our guy. He's gonna, you know, but he does know though that he's not allowed to talk tech,
right?
Other than to me and you, but he did last night, and then it started.
Right.
Greg was like, Facebook group? What? You don't, you know.
Exactly.
And that's why we don't do it.
So, girlfriend, if you were gonna put. You know how, like, when you go and you fill out a form someplace, and they ask you your age, they give you categories between mm-hmm. 20 and 35, mm-hmm. 36 to 45, or 36 to 49. What would you categorize middle age? What do you think is middle age?
Man, I don't. That's a tough one.
Because,
I mean, I'm sure that the, you know, the government has a, you know, a point for that, but. I just think that, I don't know, it depends on how long you think people should live.
Right, like, but I almost think it's an attitude, don't you? I mean, when we think about middle age,
yeah.
I always felt like it was an attitude, meaning that you had your crap together or you weren't in the process of finding yourself more.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about an attitude. I think there's people that I meet and I enjoy that they're like fresh ground all the time.
Yes.
They're open, they're, you know, genuine. You really feel that there is no, you know, like, you're like, with Norm, like, oh, you know, is that your Facebook group? Do you say
right.
You're like, no, it's just there's something sort of useful in that way. So if in one way it is an attitude, but I've heard people nowadays talk like, there's no reason we can't live to 120.
Yes.
I've heard Alberto Villoldo, who I was talking about last week, he's this shaman. He's got this new book coming out. God, wouldn't it be awesome to, OMG, Julie, I'm going to email him. I'm going to say, would you like to be on Life with the Girlfriends? Because that would be awesome.
It would be awesome,
Okay, I'm going to do that. Because he's got a new book out called One Spirit Medicine, and it is about longevity, but it's about being healthful, you know, in your longevity, because most people don't really, I mean, the idea of being 120 but really feeling like crap doesn't sound that great.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about having another, I don't know, 100 more colds in my life,
yeah,
200 more colds in my life doesn't feel good.
Yeah, Julie, we're done with that. You're done with that, girlfriend.
We'll talk about that at the end, because when you point up, your resistance is low.
Yes.
And then what are you resisting?
Yeah. Exactly. So that I kind of got that right.
You did.
There.
Yeah. But I love what he said, and you told me about this. He said, we want your age quotient to be the same as your health quotient.
Right. Right.
And when I got that, I was like, yes, because I don't want to be 100 years old and for the last 10 years of my life having mm-hmm. to live in a nursing home.
No.
Not being, you know.
I know, I was reading on the Internet today, the Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Internet.
Something about, like, what Robin Williams had gotten some kind of diagnosis of that, it's like what kind of a dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, you know, threw him, you know, for, you know, you know, aggravated the idea of his suicidal ideations, you know.
Right.
So you don't want to have, you want to have a, you know, your brain be strong and
yes,
and flexible in some sense and open-minded. And part of it is like, I mean, sometimes I reach my tolerance or I reach my limit and I just say like, oh, my brain, you know, needs to, you know, expand again or something. Because
right.
I just feel overwhelmed sometimes.
Right.
You know, with technology, with, you know, and so I imagine, you know, a younger brain can, you know, do all that stuff and multitask and still not feel like, oh, wait a minute, you know. I mean, I do like to have my quiet time. Mm-hmm. I like to sit on my bed with my legs crossed, you know, looking out through my third eye. You know, I like all that stuff, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, the older I get, the more I don't need to be entertained.
Right.
I can just be who I am.
Right.
In the present moment, in mindfulness, and so forth.
And I think I think that is a real goal of health too.
Yes.
Is really able to be in that present moment.
Because back in the day, I mean, we're very lucky to be able to work with in the Maslow's hierarchy. You know, we're pretty much up there. We're not struggling for our survival anymore.
Right.
And those come with different issues.
Right.
And so we had the luxury of thinking about all these things and exploring all these ideas and so forth. And then also, because of the Internet, mm-hmm. we are exposed to so many different ideas mm-hmm. about aging.
And some of it is crap.
Yes.
You know, and some of it isn't. You know?
And some give you just a little bit of a glimpse of like, well, that's a nugget of mm-hmm. pricelessness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how can I utilize that more?
Oh, last night at the party, we turned on the TV, we were throwing out, like we wanted to, we love the songs from the movie Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
And so we were trying to find the ones on YouTube, and it was funny because you had to, we have a smart TV, I guess, but you had to write in mm-hmm. every, like, Pitch Perfect, the song, and I was like, why can't this be like the Internet? Why can't it just sort of
guess?
Or, you know, like, hey, she wrote P-I-T-C. I bet she means Pitch Perfect, you know?
Exactly. Well, with the Internet, with YouTube specifically, there's so much stuff out there. They want you to get really specific. Mm-hmm. What I thought was funny, though, and has this happened to anybody else, I had to go into the hopper because we have it recorded. And it was at the bottom, you know, something I recorded a while ago.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing, going, oh my gosh, everybody at this moment, this party, is able to see everything.
Everything that you have stored. And everybody's like, Julie, oh my God. And then there was that one movie.
Yes.
Unhung Hero. Oops.
I swear, I don't remember. Recording that. I really don't.
Joel Osteen and the movie Unhung Hero. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I mean, how funny was that? And I literally felt embarrassed there for a second.
I know.
And I'm like, why am I embarrassed?
Yeah, really. And we were playing some songs, and, oh, my God, I had this idea that I wanted to hear Paul Rodgers when he sang with Queen.
Right.
Although, I don't think we ever got to that, did we?
No, not really. We couldn't find the right video, but we saw Paul Rodgers in lots of different generations.
But who was he with? Oh, the.
Well, he did sing in front. He did have the Queen backup band.
Yeah.
He did.
But we saw him transform, literally.
Holy cow.
What was that? What was the first song that we saw when he was young? I mean, he was.
Well, I mean, you know, Feel Like Making Love, we heard. We also heard,
Simple Man or something. But anyway, he just, long hair, real skinny guy, very energetically to look at him, felt very unempowered.
Yeah, exactly. In his day, in his youth.
Yes. And then all of a sudden he comes on and he's the front guy for Queen.
And recently, in the last 5 years, so he's in his 60s for sure.
He's like muscular.
Yes, like what the heck happened?
And he's got like, I don't know, all of a sudden.
He turned his cells on for regeneration, that's for sure.
He did. I don't know what he did, but that man.
It was shocking. Everybody in the room was like,
really?
Yeah, he's not the same person.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 30 years later.
He looked better than ever.
Oh, it was wild.
And really what was cool is that the confidence that he had compared to the young Paul Rodgers.
And my feeling was, you know, he found a doctor that was good with hormones mm-hmm. and was doing something because he had cans He had guns.
Guns, yes.
Cans are your legs, right?
I have no idea. I thought a can was your butt. I don't know.
I know. Okay, but guns are your arms,
okay,
right?
Yes.
He had some guns on him.
Oh, maybe you meant, maybe you're thinking cannons.
Maybe. Okay, yeah, his guns are cannons.
Yes, yes, they are.
They were amazing.
And he kind of had this redwood dealio going on.
Your look that you love so
much. Which I love, yeah. So he looked great, and I don't know. Like you said, he might have been in his 60-something.
Oh, I'm sure. But to see that transformation,
yeah.
And some of it looked, you know, like in the middle. You're like, okay, he's trying.
Yeah.
His hair looks a little bit fuller.
Yeah.
But shorter. His beard's covering up a lot.
Yes.
You know, and then he's wearing, you know, short sleeve shirts, and then, boom.
He's wearing, like, a day goatee.
Day goatee.
Yeah.
Showing off his guns.
Yeah.
His cannons. And you're like, whoa, I like that.
Yeah. I did.
And so you realize that he turned off the
aging
program.
Something. Yeah.
Yes, and turned on the getting younger program.
I don't know. I mean, like, obviously, if you put him side by side, you could tell that he had aged.
Right.
But, I mean, what do you want to call that when you do it really good like that?
I don't know, but he really invoked vitality.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
And that's what we're striving for.
Yes.
And it is funny, you know, I mean, feeling like a perpetual cold or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing him being strong, virile,
yes.
and you're like,
yes.
holy cow, this
yeah.
is possible.
Mm.
At least you hope so.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So how'd you like your party, girlfriend? How'd you like it?
I loved it, actually. I mean, it felt very natural. You know, we had some music, and we had you had great food. We had roast beef sandwiches, and we had some lasagna, and we brought we had cake, but there was these fabulous cupcakes that people brought, and I mean, like, can you imagine having a melt-away cupcake or a...
Everything was fabulous.
Yeah.
Delicious and fabulous.
I got flowers, and my husband gave me a card, and inside the card was a little piece of paper that he had just cut, or actually ripped, and it said on top in pencil, C-O-U-P-O-N. So I got a coupon. And it said...
Yes, for a massage.
Well, he said it was good for anything.
Okay.
That I wanted between 4 and 4:30 on my birthday, so I had 30 minutes. But the problem was the party started at 4, so my feeling was he was sort of hedging his bets on that one.
Like, you know, what were you going to say?
Yeah, exactly. So I said, look, I'm going to kick this half hour some other time.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, at least you'll get that half hour.
Yeah, I'm going to get a massage.
You know, what I felt about the party that was so nice, it just felt full of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, Doug was there. So we kind of kept it kind of small. Doug's, mm-hmm. you know, Doug's my guy, but my brother was there with his wife and his two young kids, a 3- and 1-year-old. And so it was kind of small and contained, but it was full of life. And
yes.
singing and dancing and just so much fun. And I remember those days growing up where we would sing and have the guitar out, and
mm-hmm.
it was nice seeing Dad and Greg playing guitar together.
Yeah,
it was just so much fun. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, your birthdays happen near Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is just around the corner, and
right.
my birthday's in December. But last year we had a party, and this was usually a little bigger party. Usually by my side, I invite Doug's kids and his family over, and mm-hmm. it usually happens late on Christmas Eve.
Right, we have a Christmas Eve party.
And what's been going on is that, you know, the kids get a little older for, you know, Greg and Rebecca, and we don't want them out at 10 o'clock, but my group comes later and later. And I think last year they came at...
Mm-hmm.
like 10:30, something
crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
And
so they go to Mass at 7, and then something else happens, and they finally come. But they're like, come on, so like 6 or 7 people that come.
Yeah, or
that late.
More sometimes.
Or more,
yeah, more. And this time it was at 10:30 at night, and Greg and his family had been there since like 4.
Right.
So they were like, you know,
let's go home.
Ready to go home, but they wanted to wait.
Right. And we always have a good time.
And this has been going on for over a decade. And what we always have is a talent show. And the kids have a talent, and the adults have supposed to do stuff. You know, you and I did, one year, we did, I can't think of his name, Justin Timberlake, and what's that song, Dick in a Box.
You know? Oh, yes, you and I did that. Yes. We actually dressed up.
Yes, and
we had the beards, we had the little goatee.
The sunglasses.
And then you and Dad last year did Kardashian.
We did the Kanye.
Kanye West and Kardashian.
Yeah.
And that song.
We're there on the motorcycle.
Oh, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
And we had you in the ab doer.
Yeah. Where he goes, I'm tired, you're tired, Jesus wept.
Yes. And I'm tired, you're tired, Jesus wept.
Yeah. And the funny thing was that Norm was played Kim and I played Kanye.
Yes, and it was hysterical.
Yeah, it was
mostly
good.
We did the version of Seth Rogen and
James Franco.
James Franco version. That was hysterical.
Well, here's what was good about that, if I may say so myself.
Yes.
We had the split. We did it in front of the big screen TV.
Yes, the smart
55 inches.
Yes.
We had the split screen.
Yeah.
And on one side we had Kanye
and
Kim, and the other side we had James and Seth, and then we were right in front of it. So
it was
pretty wild.
Oh, it was hysterical, and it was wild. And so everybody had a really good time at this party, but. Last time was so weird that everybody came so late that I think you said to me, "Goes, I'm done. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to have people feel obligated to come. And obviously they do if they're coming at 10 o'clock at night.
10:30.
Thank you, 10:30.
Yeah.
So let's just say.
I called it.
You're no longer obligated to feel like you have to come over.
Right.
Even though you look like you have a good time, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And so. I'm like, this happened on the 26th or the 25th. You said, we're not having it ever again. I'm like,
and
okay.
I have said that every day.
Basically, or every month, we revisit the situation.
Yes, we do, don't we?
And you're like, they know, right? We're not having any Christmas party. They know, right? I'm like, well, I say, yes.
They're
of course,
not really
we
talking
talk about
Christmas.
About it. And it's so funny because now it's November, and people, and I told Rebecca and Greg, and I said, you know, we're not going to have it like the way this, you know, last year because they came so late and you guys wanted to go home. The kids are so young. And she's like, oh, thank God, because I was just so tired. And so that conversation happened in the summertime or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is, November. And my side of the family, they're all going like, oh, we got some great ideas for our contest.
For our talent show.
I'm like, okay, well, I've kind of said we're not really going to have one, but I didn't say this. I'm just like, okay,
mm-hmm,
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of letting it go, not
mm-hmm.
saying anything. Because in my mind, I'm like, you know, things kind of, I believe in not forcing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in the ebb and flow of life, things change so rapidly that things tend to work out on their own.
Right.
And so last night at your party, Rebecca was saying, oh, and I hope we're doing talent again this year because I would love to see you and Norm, talking to you,
uh-huh.
you know, do that new song. It's all about the bass, no trouble. and so forth and so on. And so now there's this natural, like, oh, we're going to miss the party if it doesn't happen this year. And so, you know, and then hearing this little rumbling in our in our inner circles. And I haven't said anything to you about it, but you've kind of been picking up, and you've been saying, I think yesterday was the first time you said, I may be open to having it earlier,
mm-hmm.
but not at 10 o'clock at night.
That's right.
Everybody's done by 10 o'clock at night, and they're home. So I may be open to having it earlier, and everybody must come with some kind of talent or entertainment. Screw that. How dare they come with nothing to bring?
Well, it was so weird because every year, I mean, we have the March of Talent, and we have the judging, and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And last year, it came at 10:30. They ate food, and then they laid on the sofas.
Yes. They were tired.
Yeah, they were tired.
Yeah, big
well,
day.
Yeah, it's 10:30.
Yeah. Great, we're all tired.
Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah, really. And so, you know, and me, you know, I have a mind like an elephant here.
Yeah.
Like, I never forget.
Like, you always remember. And you always remind me.
You know, you remember, Julie, we're not having this again this year, right?
Exactly.
You remember that.
I said, yes.
You know
I'm
that
there.
Now. We're not having it, you know. So, yeah, I understand. The door has been cracked open a little bit. And the word the words open house have come to me.
Right.
And maybe just, you know, a certain time, like maybe like 3 to 6 or something.
Well, and the thing is, if we have it earlier, if that's possible, I mean, because, you know, we used to have their Christmas on before on Christmas Eve at an uncle's house, and then that stopped last year. And then, so that's why they came over after church. But now we can't before church, so there's a natural ending to it. You know, at 6:30, they have to go to church, yada, 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 and so forth. So I think I'm not pushing the river.
No.
So I'm letting it go.
Let it flow.
And let it flow.
Let it flow.
And
let it go.
That really is one of the bigger concepts, I think, in my spirituality. If I was going to have like a 10 top things Julie lives by, try and live in a river.
That's right.
Live like a river.
Live like a river and let it flow.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow.
See, if we were making a movie, we wouldn't call it Frozen. We'd call it Melted.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's
the warm up.
It would be Let It Flow instead of Let It Go.
Exactly. Let it flow.
Life is like a river, girlfriend.
Yep, and just something new comes by, let it be. The right things will be where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Let it all flow. Mm. That's my thing.
So are you saying that maybe we should think about then having the party?
Oh, yeah, we're thinking about it.
We'll think about it. We'll talk about it.
But let's just be real. It's going to be all you saying yay or nay. So, and then what might happen is like...
You know me. I end up being a softie.
Exactly.
I talk a big game.
Right.
Why, yada, yada, I won't have this party.
And then you do.
And then I probably will.
And then luckily for me, I've absorbed your info, but not passed along yet.
Thank God.
I haven't burned any bridges.
No. I don't burn. Do I burn bridges?
I don't say, you guys have all disappointed my mother, and never happen again, for heaven's sakes.
That's between me and you.
That's between me and you, yes. I know, exactly.
Yeah. you get to be part of the... I share with you the subtext of my brain.
Yes.
I don't know how great that is.
Hey, isn't that our relationship, though?
It really is.
We are grateful that we don't have to have it go any further than that.
That's true.
You know...
Because
we know it. We know the truth. We know the bigger truth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of the truth, you mentioned to me, I don't know if it was yesterday morning or something, but that you said you had a bit of an epiphany because last week you were talking about, you know how we love to talk about charities.
Oh, yeah.
We just love
because
it.
Because we are such givers. You and I are such big givers.
Yes.
We really are.
Julie, you can't say that, though, girl.
I know.
Because it erases...
No, I'm a cheerful giver, though. I'm a cheerful giver.
I know, but when you tell people that...
I don't tell people that. I'm telling you that.
Okay, we're not really telling anybody on the radio show.
No.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, here's my problem.
Okay.
You know, I've been saying that I was being hit by everybody wanting to start their own darn charities.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked about how Oprah was like, why do people have to feel like they have to do this big thing when they can... take pride in and feel the love and connection in the little things, and that's what really matters. And
right.
I'm like, I get that, because you get tired of people of like, really, you know, there's so many things out there right now that you can just get plugged into. Why start something new that, you know, what's the game here? I always feel there's something hidden, some hidden agenda.
Right.
And that's mostly because you're hear
cynical.
About charities where only 10% of the money taken in goes to actually helping people.
Yeah.
The rest goes to salaries.
Yeah. I mean, that's cray-cray.
Yeah, it is cray-cray.
And then, you know, and then you're thinking, well, listen, you got to do your due diligence.
Right, let's not be slothful.
In that sense.
Exactly.
If you're, you know, yeah.
And so I had said I'm just about done with this.
Yeah, I know you
And so then I, and maybe because of the holidays, we're just getting inundated with all this, you know, all the information, people asking for your money and, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good time of year, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then so... I got totally schooled in the idea. Hold on one second.
Who schooled you, girlfriend? Who schooled you?
The universe. God schooled me on it all over the place because I couldn't get away with the idea of people starting up 501(c)s.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the name of the charity. I think that is.
Like a nonprofit.
A nonprofit.
Yeah.
Also that they can take donations to then further their cause, you know, their mission in life, mm-hmm. their purpose in life. Mm-hmm. And so, and when I was hearing people talk, and literally three or four different situations where I was hearing someone say, and then I chose to say, you know what, it's time to start a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So I can start taking donations and really helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ah, oh, okay, well, let's see what you, and their story was worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one gentleman I was hearing on Joe Rogan, he's with a doctor, but he came back from Afghanistan or Iraq and had traumatic brain injury.
The doctor did?
And so forth, and was just struggling. And he had listened to and tried to commit suicide. It failed, thankfully. And at that time, he listened to Joe Rogan, who had a doctor on, who was talking about how the right amount of hormone in the right hormones and the right percentage could really reactivate the brain and feel healthier mm-hmm. and stronger and, you know, start going in the right direction for traumatic brain injuries mm-hmm. and so forth. And so he contacted the doctor, and he was able to get part of this grant to start getting services from this one doctor. Mm. I thought, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But the grant money ran out. And so they're like, you know, we're gonna together, we're thinking, let's do a nonprofit and get a charity going, and let's start really raising money for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know what? Good for them.
You bet.
Good for them.
You bet.
And I would want to donate. And I guess I just can't give them money if they don't have a charity, because then what? I mean, they mm-hmm. haven't claimed it as income?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to. So, you know, instead of saying that they're trying to avoid taxes, I'm going to say that really they really want to help, and they want to get focused, and they want to be able to multiply their efforts,
mm-hmm.
and so they start a charity,
well,
a nonprofit.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I can remember years ago, that when I found out about this little charity, it's now big now, called Kiva.org, I was going to say literally, which I hate saying that word, but, you know, that they give out microloans.
Right.
And really it's primarily women in these countries, because they found that they've actually charted, if they give these microloans to men, the men actually go out, they buy booze and cigarettes,
right.
women and all. But if they give it to the women, they'll take that money, and they'll, you know, sometimes they do hats, you know, make, you
right.
know, knit hats or whatever. But they start these little businesses, and as soon as they pay back these loans, these microloans are as little as $50.
Yeah.
But these at $50 changes a family's life.
Yeah.
For a generation or two, then they pay that loan back and they get another microloan.
Yeah.
You were telling me too about this one girl. She's the daughter of a football coach or something.
Right.
But when she was in college, she decided to become a stripper.
Right. She had the quote unquote the traditional nuclear family. Mom, dad was a college football coach. She went away to college, became, you know, had a group of girls come in and kind of influence her in becoming a stripper, saying it's easy money.
This was when she was in college.
In college, yes. And I kept thinking, like, I'm sure your parents are helping you out, but I guess an extra $200 to take your moneymaker is kind of sounds good, right? And then later on, she talked about how she was sexually assaulted when she was younger as well. So you wonder if that has something to do with it. But
yeah, exactly.
But and then she talked about how when she went from stripping to being an escort. And then finally she just realized one day she woke up and she goes, holy cow, I'm really in this sex industry. I don't feel good anymore.
She actually made porno, didn't she?
Yeah, I think she did. I'm not 100% sure, but
mm-hmm.
I think she did.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to start a nonprofit, which she did, to help women like herself get out, because it's so hard to go from making so much quote-unquote easy money,
yeah.
but your soul suffers, she said.
Yeah.
Your soul suffers.
Of course it does.
It just does. And especially the older you get. And there's a time when you're just too old, but you don't have any other skills, and you're used to making really wild money. But, you know, what do you do? And so she started a nonprofit. And she goes in and she gives these women whatever they need. And what she's trying to do now is gather enough money to build a like a home, so people can if they want to leave, they can live there for a while.
So they can
get
kind of like a transition house or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Because that's what you really need, because there always is that time.
Exactly. Between there and here, there is always that time needed for transition.
Yeah.
And I've gone through that time several times in my life, and luckily I've had you and Dad to kind of be there for my transition. And I'm sure there's people out there that have nobody.
Yeah.
And for her to be that person, I was like commendable. I'm like, you go, girl.
You said that you'd heard that she kind of got left. They kind of let her go out of her church.
Oh, right.
Because they felt that because she would go to where the need was.
Right.
As opposed to having people come to where she was. She would go there. And they didn't. They said, you know, we don't want you to be in these places that are so shady.
Right. That was. She really wanted that to be her mission.
Yeah. And they kicked her out of her church.
And they said, we don't feel that way. And you know, bye bye. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to help you or support you. Mm-hmm. So bye bye. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah. It's
and
creepy.
So here she's on her own doing it, and I believe she found another church that you know that helps her. Or, but I just thought. So, you know, in a very short amount of time, I got schooled, and I see these people who are just go-getters and saying, here's a need.
Yeah.
And the only way I can get money for this is to start a charity or a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So I've changed my mind.
Yeah. If you were going to start one, what would you do? Where would you start first? Locally?
You'd have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd want to have control.
Mm-hmm. Well, we interviewed this one woman. She started schools in Africa.
Right.
With her charity. She wrote children's books.
Right.
And with all the profit that went from the, she would start these schools. But she said, every time I start a school, because she can't be there 24/7.
Yeah.
These, I don't know, can I just call them bad guys?
Sure.
Bad dudes?
Yeah.
They come in, they dismantle the school, they take all the stuff, and it's gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, in some sense, while it's admirable to start your own, you know, charity, when you can contribute, and the places that are you know pretty good and already intact,
exactly.
you know, and your school's not gonna
up and running,
yeah,
they can do a better job than you can.
Yes,
and when you are directly related to the nonprofit, like the gentleman and the doctor with the brain, you know,
right,
you know, he knows about it.
Yes.
He wants to help people like himself.
Right.
It makes sense. This woman, she knows about it. She knows all
she
the problems.
She knows the life, yeah.
She wants to help people that, you know, she got away. She got out.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to help people like herself to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be a situation that I was directly related to or had such an infinity towards that I'd want to be in it more and help out more.
Mm-hmm.
Not from like, oh, standoffish kind of way.
Right.
I don't, you know.
Well, it's interesting because, like, a lot of times you see women that end up kind of rescuing animals and stuff like that. But because it's just one person, I mean, you kind of end up like the cat lady or the doggy lady.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too. I think
this is why I kind of like the idea of just, I mean, there is so much one person can do, but then.
You're exactly right.
If you want to give, you want to.
If there's always something already in place that does it just as good,
mm-hmm.
you should help that person, help that agency out.
Yeah.
And, like, with animals, I think that the individual gets hurt by taking in or you know, but if you can support your local community, they have the resources to take care of it.
Yes. I agree. And then,
because
I can remember just locally there was that one woman who did that, and it got... You know, she kind of went cray-cray.
Right.
And they went there, and they found animals in the freezer that had died and starving ones. And, I mean, it ends up being a huge mess.
Right.
Well, didn't Norm give us something about a charity? He said, oh, if a guy came to you and wanted to use your I wanted to live with you or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Well, it's a long story, and we're kind of getting running out of time.
Okay. All right.
But I'll tell it real quick. So, yeah.
But he
basically, he was
this.
Setting us up with the idea, like, yeah. we're supposed to be charitable in our nature, and that's just what we're talking about in our family.
Yeah.
How do we become more just open to letting go of whatever we had to help someone else,
yes.
knowing that we'd always be taken care of,
right.
by, you know, and so forth. And if somebody came to you and said, I need your money, I really need your money, and you only had a certain amount of money, and you needed it for yourself, would you give it to them?
Or you needed it for your family,
Yeah, I need it for your family, would you give that person that money?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't know.
Norm goes, it's a cone. It's a cone, Julie. Like, I don't know if that's a cone or not.
I don't know what that means.
It's like a Buddhist puzzle or riddle.
Oh, got it.
You know, what is the sound of one hand clapping? I don't really know. But
got it. Okay.
He thought he was really trying to trick his son.
Yes. And that's something that I always love to have happen is be tricked. I love that. That's always makes me so happy. Well, anyway, I just want to say we haven't promoted ourselves at all this hour, so I want to say to everybody out there, please go and get our book, The Clutter Fly
yes.
Effect.
Help us support other charities.
St. Jude for that book.
Yes.
Granny
Rose.
Yes. The Clutter Fly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life, and you can get that at Amazon. And you can go to our website, The Clutterfly Effect, as well as ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Even though we haven't posted anything there in a while, but we're getting better. So
are we?
Not really.
Not really.
It's a we're going to probably not till the beginning of the year. But thank you for listening, and I hope my cold hasn't been too big of a distraction. And have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, end of it.
And, you know, even though you had a cold, it still is great.
It was great.